Welcome to Talkin' Music. I'm Corey Stanton, and I'm talking with musicians Billy Brouse and Sam Brouse from the band Papadocia. Thanks for calling into KVNF, guys.
Yeah, right on. Thanks for having us.
I assume you guys are related?
Big time.
Yeah, we are. We're brothers.
Nice. Where are you calling in from?
We're calling in from Asheville, North Carolina, where the band is based for the past 10 years, I think.
Cool. Well, Papadocia has a new album coming out, Microdocia, and you've already released several singles. We're going to go straight into some music, and then we'll come back. We'll talk about the album. Here is a track called Fly Agaric by Papadocia.
Thank you.
That was Fly Agaric by electronic band Papadocio. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Talkin' Music on KVNF. I'm Corey Stanton, and I'm talking with Sam and Billy Brouse from Papadocio. So talk to me about your new album that's coming out, Microdocio, and talk to me about your band and instrumentation. What are we going to hear on this album?
This is Sam, and the new album was kind of based around this idea that our guitar player Anthony had a while ago to do this thing called Microdocio, which is where, you know, it's a pun, obviously, but it's where we sort of shrink down our instrumentation to, like, tiny instruments is what it started as. Mm-hmm. So we would just be making these huge sounds on stage with little tiny instruments, and that idea sort of evolved into, like, creating a whole new live show, and we just happened to have a bunch of stuff in the pipeline music-wise that we were able to sort of combine that with the idea of, you know, releasing an album behind that. Then the whole mushroom theme kind of fell into place with the Microdocio, like, right in time. Like, it wasn't always like that, and it just sort of fit right in with the whole motif. So we basically, like, named each song after an individual species of mushroom that we found interesting or beneficial to us in our past, and had little artwork created for each, kind of like a, you know, it's a concept album, but it's all about mushrooms, so yeah.
Yeah, this last one, it's super funky. There's a little bit of vocals on it. What instruments are we hearing?
On Fly Agaric, I think there's some vocal samples, but this album doesn't really have many really vocals like that we sing on it. It's mostly electronic instruments. I mean, minus, you know, there's guitar, bass, and drums. Some of the drums are acoustic, like in the studio. Actually, I think that was recorded, or a version of it we recorded out in the desert outside of Scottsdale, Arizona. It ended up being really great. We'd never recorded outside, at least for an album, you know? So it was an ordeal, but it was great, though.
You have a new album that's coming out, Microdocio, and you're releasing a few singles. Talk to me about Chaga.
This is Sam. You know, all these tracks kind of just started as little sketches on somebody's computer, you know, more or less. And then we kind of worked together to put it all together to make sense of songs. But that particular one was just basically musically, I think, a sample of like some foreign Arabic singing or something, like Arabic or Sanskrit or some old ancient singing. I just had like three notes that this dude was singing, and I just sort of manipulated them to work around this little chord progression that I had. So it was basically just like a loop of maybe like eight bars or so. And we took it down into our bass player's studio that he has, that he just built, and where we were all set up and sort of wrote the rest of the track together. And that particular one was kind of difficult because we had written it and gone over it and even played it out live one time in the desert. And we just weren't really happy with it, because it felt like kind of just like a train, just like there's this constant movement and it's always going forward, and it just had too much, I don't know, there was like it was a lot of pace, you know? So we had to go back and rearrange some parts. So that one actually kind of took the longest. It was one of the first ones that we quote unquote finished, but we had to go back and sort of reimagine it. Mm-hmm. And the Chaga mushroom is really cool. I've been taking it for like a little over a year now here and there. I got at my yoga studio in the winter, they have like a market, and this guy has like a chaga mushroom company. So I got a big jar of it and just made tea out of it. And it's like really good for inflammation and your immune system and like antiviral. You know, there's people talking about like a lot of these different mushrooms being like really good for cancer and stuff. So we recommend people look into that. You know, there's a lot of health benefits that we've been studying about involving like fungi and mushrooms. So that's why we kind of decided to make the whole album mushroom based.
Yeah. Well, let's take a listen to Chaga. This is a brand new track from Papadocio. That was a track called Chaga by Papadocio. You're listening to Talkin' Music on KVNF. I'm Corey Stanton, and I'm talking with Sam and Billy Brouse, two of five members of the electronic band Papadocio. I want to talk to you about kind of what's going on in our world. And when I went to your website, your homepage has a beautiful picture of you all on stage with a very full crowd. And so with everything going on right now, obviously we can't all come together for a live show, which is really tragic to me personally because I love live music. What do you envision live shows looking like in the future?
This is Billy. As far as live shows go, it's crazy because nobody knows what they're going to look like. You know, it could affect crowd size and capacity at venues for a year or maybe two. I mean, maybe it will never be the same. I personally, I don't envision it ever being, at least in the near future, like it was. I've heard some people say that, they're going to try to limit crowds, you know? So big venues and small venues are going to be hurting after this. But small venues especially, because I think a lot of them might have to shut down. And that's no good because there's some really great small venues around the country. Mm-hmm. And then, big ones, if they're going to have to limit crowd size, if you have a 3,000-person venue and you're only allowed to put 500 people in there, let's say, I don't know what the capacity is going to be. Nobody does, but, that's going to hurt their bottom line. So, yeah. I don't know. I envision and I hope that we can soon get back to full capacity shows, but I'd like to see it slowly get there. I don't think just right away blazing right back into 3,000-person shows is the way to go. And I'm going to, certain states will probably do it differently. Mm-hmm. So time will tell and see how it goes in certain states that are just gung-ho about it. But I envision taking precaution and taking the smart route and not just going full bore right away. We'll see, I guess.
Yeah. I was listening to NPR this weekend, and one of the musicians they were talking to, they asked her, what do you want? What's the first thing that you want to do when you can? And, aside from hugging her family and friends, she said she wanted to be in between her drummer and a crowd and feeling that bass, that full bass behind her. And I was like, oh, yes. I mean, there is nothing like a live show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, streaming is great. But when you hit that low sub bass synth note that made me love playing live. I mean, one of the reasons, but you don't have those, 20, 18-inch subwoofers under the stage that are just, blowing you out. It's different, for sure. I mean, it's better than nothing, and we've been making it pretty interesting, but I totally agree with whoever said that. I didn't even think about that, really. There's certainly other things that are missing, too, but,
Yeah, Sam.
It's interesting because this is by far the longest we've gone without being in a music venue. So it's kind of given us a unique opportunity to really appreciate what is going on, at a show. Because after a certain amount of time, you get sort of numb to how special it really is,
And it's
definitely given some perspective to a lot of different things. People always say, they love live music and it means so much to them. And I can totally understand how that could be possible. But for me, it was always it was our job, we were going around doing it all the time, this and that and this and that, and it's hard to sort of focus on why it is people love that, So having this time away from it and sort of staring down the barrel of super unknown in terms of whether or not that can even happen again is almost traumatizing. It's it's hard to think about, and we have no answers.
Right.
It's a really weird feeling.
It's more than just, the no concert thing is one thing to think about, but it's basically that our entire industry has been forced to change really, really fast. And in some ways that's a bummer, but in other ways it's also exciting. We're still trying to figure out which one it is or if it can be both at the same time. Every day sort of feels different from real excited about moving forward, doing more interesting stuff on the internet. And then shows, every day just everything feels different all the time. It's kind of crazy.
I'm going off that point really quick. I think that the music industry, it's not the worst thing ever, because sometimes it's good to reset the system, take the cartridge out and blow on it. And maybe the music industry needed a little bit of that. I know other industries could use that too, but you know, you can burn something down and build it back up the way you want it to be. And the fact that we live in, it's 2020, and it's a whole different world than when a record industry was set up with, you know, executive bigwigs and touring bands on 737s and stuff, and Led Zeppelin's tour manager with a briefcase handcuffed to him. You know, like, it's a whole different world now. And, you know, when we come out of it, it would be nice to see musicians taking the industry and molding it to make it work for us, because it certainly hasn't been for a long time. I mean, it's working, but it's just, it's really hard. It's really hard. So maybe this could end up being a positive thing. I mean, I don't know what else to do other than try to make a positive out of it. So
yeah, a little bit of deconstructing.
Yeah, exactly. And just jumping off of that point too, it's like, it isn't just the artist, you know. That's kind of another overwhelming thing to think about, is it's like, you know, the whole industry is just like completely different now. You know, crew, you know, sound people, lighting people, managers, booking agents, like not just the record label people, but like the people out there on the road and sort of like doing things, is all at a standstill. And it's not like the rest of the industries where, I mean, restaurants is one thing, but like, it's not going to open back up as quick because of the giant crowd aspect of it, you know?
Right.
So we're sort of just like, I feel so much for like everybody who's in the industry, because we just don't have any idea when it's going to be back, or if, you know, it's going to be back to a capacity to support like all those people, you know?
Yeah.
Crazy.
And how do you guys feel about releasing an album during this time? I mean, how does that affect you guys?
Nobody makes money off of, unless you're like huge, I don't think, record sales anymore. So, you know, it's just Spotify. But I think that releasing an album, it's like we're doing a song every 2 weeks. It ends July like 7th or 9th or something. And I think it kind of worked out that everybody's, you know, at home, they're available to receive all of it, and they have time to listen. So it kind of isn't the worst time to be doing this.
Yeah.
We got really lucky with the timing in that regard. Mm-hmm. We had already been planning on releasing a song every 2 weeks, which sort of puts us in front of our fans, you know, at least every 2 weeks during this crazy time. So I feel really happy that we're able to do it now.
Yeah. And so you mentioned that you're doing some live streaming. How else are you connecting with fans right now?
This is Sam. Yeah, right now it's the live streaming. We just put together a schedule that we're hoping, you know, to keep this up for every 2 weeks to do a live stream. And there's been more opportunities coming in, which is kind of cool, for different live streams. We're looking into Twitch pretty hard because it's really an interesting platform that the younger generation really knows a lot about. Like, I hadn't even looked into it at all until like a month ago, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there's people on there that are like playing video games and making so much money playing video games, because like the viewership is out of control. Like with gaming, like viewing gaming stuff is more viewed than Netflix, HBO, Amazon Prime, and stuff like that combined. Like I read that and I was like, okay, that's insane. I did not know that. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's true. Like, you can fact check me. But if it's not true now, I feel like it's going to be.
Yeah.
So we're sort of like figuring out, you know, in the early stages of figuring out how to utilize that platform, because they're really interested in basically getting content creators on there that are doing different stuff, like a lot of different stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we've kind of always had this thing in the back of our mind about creating more and different content. You know, we have a bunch of different people that are interested in different things and are tech savvy enough to do it. So like, you know, cooking stuff or playing video games with fans or stuff like that, you know, that platform is basically built to have something like that thrive.
Yeah.
And so we're looking into that and like all the different options. I think Facebook is about to do something different to change how their streaming stuff works. Maybe, I don't know.
I want to go on Twitch and challenge all of our fans to attempt to beat me in Mario Tennis, and I'll give you $5 if you beat me. No one's going to beat me. So I'm just going to throw that one out there if you guys want to start practicing.
That's amazing. Well, thank you guys so much for taking time to talk with me and KVNF, and for sharing your new music.
Yeah, thank you so much for this opportunity. It was great.
Yeah, thank you.
You've been listening to Talkin' Music on KVNF. I'm Corey Stanton. Visit kvnf.org for more Talkin' Music programs and for a direct link to Papadocio's music. We'll go out on Versicolor by Papadocio. Thank you for listening.